Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back. Protect yourself, fool.
Sometimes I be wanting a brick house, too. The wood frame just don't get it no more, especially in the wintertime. Crank up the heat and more dollars go out the door. Kind of make me want to go back to the old school where you had a wood fireplace and burning some wood. Heck, I felt more comfortable then than I did now because these gas prices, man, is whoo. Think I might do that. Think I might go back to burning some wood. I might even go south. I don't know. Shake and Bake is in a position where, man, I'm telling you, it's right about now, things ain't been too good for your boy. I just buried my sister a couple weeks ago. She left her house, and she left it to the grandkids. But, man, we got some drama. Them grandkids ain't going to do nothing but create more drama, so I'm going to have to take another trip down there and get some stuff out the way. Probably going to have to move the house, the trailer house that she got. Or I might try to buy it. I don't know. I'll talk with them and see. But anyway, your boy going through some stuff right about now, so I've got to keep my head up and stay strong for y'all. So we're going to get this show a-moving, and maybe somebody can come on with some race reports for the Bobby Cole's race later on. I know they had Friday was a good day racing. Saturday morning it was okay, but it rained at 4 o'clock and they had to shut the track down. So no racing Sunday. Everybody should be on their way back home. But I sure wanted to go and support Bobby Cole because Bobby Cole's always been cool with me. And anybody that's cool with me, I'll go and support their track and their events. And I don't have no problem with it. It's just that as long as it don't interfere with my business, I'll be in the air, in the wind, and there. So next weekend, I'm planning on going to Onondaga Mentone Sunday. I don't think I'll be able to make it Saturday, but I'll probably go Sunday. I got to find out with Rich how late they stay open because I got to be back. And I got to do the show, and then I got to get up early Monday. We'll see if we can work out. And Mentone is going to probably be about 5 hours for me, 5.5, from coming from Detroit. I got to double check it on the map, but it may be some prospect where we can go and. We can go and support Rich with his car and see what Mentone got to offer. I ain't heard from Hamilton Mike. He been in the bushes lately. I don't know if he got his car together where he can go out there too. I'll give him I'll text him and see if he's ready. But other than that, the season is here for the Midwest. Tracks is opening up. Weather still a little tipsy, but May, it should be warming up a lot better. So a couple more weeks, and you might be able to put away the hoodies and the coat and go out there and enjoy some racing. I got a lot of things on the fire, but enough of me. What y'all got up y'all sleeves? We've got a topic for today. And we're waiting until we get a big enough crowd on the show, and then we'll talk about the topic. The topic is, if you race in your race car and your wing falls off and rolls into the other person's lane, do you win? If you get the W, if you cross the finish line first, do you get the W? Do you get paid? Do you win? Or is there a problem with your wing falling off into another person's lane? Not in front of the other party, but just in his lane. We've got some questions about that. And we're going to find some answers here on the Shake and Bake Show. As soon as I can find out who is this texting and blowing my phone up. I'm getting texts about it. Yeah, we're doing the show. Somebody called themselves with some answers. Well, you won't know unless you get on the show and push the one button. All right. Okay. Let's get on with the show. I want to welcome everybody to the Shake and Bake Grudge Talk Show here Sunday. May the 1st. First day of May. We're about to get the season popping and going, people. Let's see what everybody's got to talk about on the show. What's going on for the new year? Is your car ready? Are you selling any wolf tickets? You ready to go down on somebody, or are you going to hide in the bushes? What you going to do? Well, we'll see. We'll soon see. First and foremost, I want to thank God for waking us up every day, giving us the opportunity to have this show, giving us the opportunity to race. And people, you always got to put God first in everything you do. Everything you do, always. I am thankful. I'm still living. I am thankful. I got breath in my body. Even though we have problems, people, you always got to be thankful for some things in life. So with that being said, we're going to get on with the show. We got some hands up. And my first co-host is, look like that's Rich. Battle Creek Rich. What's going on, Rich?
Not a whole lot. Sorry I ain't been out.
Not a whole lot.
I know I'm a part-time employee now, but.
Hey, I told you earlier, Corbin took your money, man, and he bought some parts for his race car. He might be on here,
right.
So he
God bless him.
He just put in one.
I hope it, you know.
Yeah.
I hope he puts it to good use.
He will. I know he out there somewhere. But I let him tell you thank you for them parts.
Well,
you know how we do it.
But to answer your question,
okay.
We were talking earlier, Mentone runs until on Saturday. We'll be tested until the sun goes down. So 7, 8 o'clock.
Oh, really?
Saturday night.
Uh-huh. So you're going to stay overnight?
And then I don't, like I said, it all depends on how testing goes. We may stay down there and race on Sunday, but I don't know.
Kind of push forward that because I'm going to try to be there Sunday morning. And
well, if we're not going to stay, then I will let you know. But we're taking either 3 or 4 cars down and testing on Sunday or Saturday. So,
okay,
we'll see.
Okay, who's giving this race?
It's a Northern Indiana Shootout Group.
Northern Indiana Shootout Group. That's the name of them, or that's them on Facebook, or
that's
what?
That's their Facebook page. It's just a local group doing this down there. They've done it for the last 2 summers. This will be the 3rd summer, I believe.
Okay.
But like on Sunday, it's $20 to test. It's $5, or Saturday, it's $20 for testing, $5 for spectators. You can't find a track anyplace that's that cheap to get in to hang
sure
out and have a good time at racing.
Sure. Okay.
I think it's $20 for the tech card on Sunday to race. It's $10 for spectators. And then depending on what class you get in, you pay your entrance fee into the class that you want to run, and it's 100% payout for the class. So,
okay.
It's a nice little group.
Make sure you, when you get down there Saturday, I ain't going to be able to go both days, but if you get down there Saturday and things look good, you plan on staying, I might get Greg to come with me if he's available. Hell, I might even get Corey to go with me. We can shoot down there and problems always popping up. I just thought of something. But we'll see. We ain't gonna count it off. We definitely won't count it off.
And I'm not gonna lie to you. At this point, I don't see me staying to race on Sunday.
You don't?
No. So, I mean, the plan is to go down and test and do what we need to do to get ready for the team event down to Carmi and the following weekend, the 14th, at the top end of Milan. So we'll just have to see how it goes. But who's at the door?
That's Corey. Come on in here, Corey.
The one and only. How y'all fellas doing this evening?
He say the
not
one
bad,
and only.
Not bad. the one and only, has decided to grace us with his presence tonight.
Yes, sir. I hear y'all talking about no print.
You say that like that's a bad thing.
No, ain't nothing wrong with no print. Go on and get that bag. Go get that bag.
Right.
Yeah.
Knock some heads off.
Yeah, I wish the car was fast enough and tested already. I'd be headed to war in the woods.
Well, hey, that's the first weekend, too.
Yeah, it's the 5th, 6th,
well,
and 7th.
Well,
6th, 7th, and 8th.
It seemed like the little bitty things keep getting in the way. Just take it slow. Take it slow, one step at a time. If you can make the mentor, go out there and shoot, win some money. You might take them out, and then you have your couple of dollars for the next event.
Yeah.
It's just been too many problems I've been seeing.
Well, like I said, you know, I put the car away last fall, figured it was ready to go. We get it out of the trailer. We put it in the garage. All we got to do is change the oil, put the new nitrous system on from CompuCar Nitrous Systems that Ernie set me up with as a sponsor.
Yeah.
Change that over and change the oil. And what do? We pull the drain plug out for the oil, and there's a bolt stuck to the magnet on the drain plug. So we're like, where the frick did this come from? So we get a camera out, and we scope inside, and we got a screw missing out of the bottom of the oil pump and another one that's backing out. So instead of just a couple of little things, now the motor's been out, completely fixed, and back in the car. So we're 2 weeks behind schedule from when we wanted to be. But it didn't hurt anything. We never lost oil pressure. So we didn't damage anything in the motor. So kind of a blessing that it actually was on the magnet.
Right. Good thing that if those people that don't have that magnet on the drain plug, you better get it. Rich is telling you a good thing, something you need to know, people.
And when I talked to Milling Oil Pumps, they've never had one get turned in prior to this with the screws falling out of it. So
goodness.
My normal luck, I get that one in a million.
Manufacturer. That's a manufacturer mistake there. Goodness. Well, you stick on the show, and we're going to get you on your knees and say a prayer, too, and hope everything turn all right come Saturday. But with that being said, we got another caller here. Yep, that checklist. We got another caller on the show. Let me get the rest of these people on here. Tell your mic is open, bro.
What's going on, everybody?
What's happening?
Oh, not much. Just been busy. No sleep for the wicked.
I know.
Yeah, I see.
Oh, boy.
They're redoing Milan tracks coming along pretty good.
I hope so, Tail. I hope so. They sinking some money into it. I haven't got anything lately on what's going on, but they doing what they say they were going to do, fix it up and attract some people. Is it going to fix it all up to this year? I doubt it. That's a lot of work need to be done, but they're going to get majority of it done.
You got to start somewhere.
So we can go out there and ride. Yeah, we got to start somewhere.
Best to get you in that gig.
Yep, got to get us in that gig, huh, Corey?
Yes, sir.
248-7073. That's you, Rick. Not Rich, but Rick. 7073. Yeah, that's me.
All right, what's up, man? How you doing?
All right, how about yourself?
Fair for a square.
No, I was going to ask Rich. He was saying that magnet for the oil pump.
No.
Does that come with the oil pump, or does that come separate? You got to buy that piece separate.
It's actually part of the drain plug in your oil pan. And if yours doesn't have one, you can buy aftermarket ones that do have magnets on them.
Okay. Okay.
You
I
know
wasn't
what
sure,
the purpose
but
of it?
I didn't know about that.
You know what the purpose of it for?
Well, I was listening to him. I guess it's to catch the bolts in case they shake off, loosen up and shake off.
Well, it wasn't. It really wasn't designed for that, but it did help. What else is it for? Somebody tell him, Corey.
Tayo. Take all the metal shavings out of the oil.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, there you go.
Exactly. Because the metal shavings can get picked up by the oil pump and recirculate it through your engine, and that's like sandpaper. And
yeah,
it's not good. It's not good. So that magnet really, it do help a whole lot.
I have them in the oil pan and the transmission pan.
Because I'm doing, the reason why I asked.
So that again, Tail. Hold on, what did you say, Tail?
I have them in the oil pan and the transmission pan, little flat magnets.
Right. You hear that, Rick?
Yep. Uh-huh. I heard him.
Okay.
I'm doing my first engine rebuild, and that's why I asked.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here on the show, you'll learn a lot of stuff just sitting back listening, because these guys here are professionals. They are professionals.
Okay.
Philip Walker, your mic is open.
What's going on, Mr. Shake and Bake, everybody?
Yeah.
What's
going
on, Phil?
What's up, Phil?
Man. Catching. Got a damn cold. I'm trying to shake. Because I'm asthmatic, it's all hell breaking loose.
What you got over your head right now?
Nothing.
You ain't trying to break that cold. You got to sweat it out, bro.
All right.
You got to have something around you. Put a hood on. Put a hoodie on. And a towel around your neck. And sweat that
I've been doing our old remedies, you know. I got my, that dietitian going like crazy around here.
Okay. That's a good
my
plus.
Cure for the common cold is a hot toddy and some sweat.
Yeah. Well, I'm like, tell you the truth, I think I'm right at the middle, the last part of the middle going into the last part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday. Coughing, man, my chest hurting like hell every time I cough. It's not as bad now. It's just all I'm doing is getting all this phlegm out of my lungs now. So, almost done.
Well, keep up with that Dr. Tishner's. For those that don't know about that Dr. Tishner's, you more than welcome to tell them. That's some good stuff. And swallow it. Put a little bit with it, some water, and swallow a little bit. Wash your mouth out with it. Gargle and swallow a little bit with it about every 30 minutes. It'll clear your sinuses up.
And Dr. Tishner, boy, if you got to cut it, it'll wash that motherfucker out.
You ain't never lied.
Yeah, I remember the first time. You remember the first time I tried it? You was like, hey, you was like, no, no. It was too late.
Yeah, that's going to have your hair stand up on top of your head.
Man. Vodka ain't got nothing on this.
Well, sure. This is the time we need to take care of our health, people. It's going into the Ooh, we got some noise and a half. Somebody's moving around and it's coming on the show. This is the time where we're going from cold to a hot season. So that's when the pores and stuff open up. You got to keep yourself covered until them pores close and get used to this new climate.
So, hold on, Shay. No, wait a minute. We're in Michigan. Go to cold to hot, to cold to hot, cold.
Yeah, it's been like that. Hell, when I come from down south, it was nice down there, and I drove right into some snow. And then it turned nice 2 days later. So, yep, you gotta stay adjusted to this weather, people. Gotta stay adjusted to this weather.
Yes, sir.
Oh, shoot, I messed up on the board. Okay. Hey, Corey.
Joe.
Corey. Damn, I was waiting on you to say something. I was going to see if you're going to come off that trans break slow or what. But you want to tell Rich, thank you for them for that paycheck because you bought some new parts for your car.
Yeah. I sure appreciate it, Rich. Definitely appreciate it.
Well, you're more than welcome, man. I'm glad I could be of service to somebody.
We did have I don't know where Brother Greg went to, but Brother Greg will probably be on a little later. He's got some kind of tournament or something going on. I see his name on his number on the board, but he'll come on a little later. I was going to see if I can get him.
With the vet?
Greg Williams. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I might get him to go with us if he comes Sunday. We might go out there to Mentone. Now, Mentone is, if I'm not mistaken, I looked at it, it is northwest of Fort Wayne. So I'm thinking that's going to probably be about 4 hours, 4.5 hours, maybe 5 hours for me.
What is that? What track are you talking about?
Mentone. That's where Rich is going to do some no prep. It's a race Sunday. And he's going Saturday to test.
Nice.
Is it next Sunday?
Next Sunday.
Dang.
It's a 2-hour and 20-minute drive for me, Shay. So.
Right. It'll be about 4 hours for me. Yeah, about 4 hours for me, Cole. Unless I can, I'm gonna look at it right now. I think I still got it on my phone.
Yeah, if anybody's looking to do some testing for no prep, it's on an airport. So anybody that's never done no prep wants to go test. There's absolutely nothing to run into if it gets out of shape. It's just
right
out in the grass.
So ain't no guardrails, ain't no brick barriers. If you get out of shape, you just drive, steer until you can stop.
No, that's an abandoned airport?
No, it's a private airport.
Oh, okay. And when did I do checks and tuning?
From 9 o'clock Saturday morning till 7 or 8 o'clock Saturday night. And then they open the place up at 9 o'clock on Sunday. Drivers meetings at noon. It's $20 for a tech card, $5 for spectators on Saturday, $10 for spectators on Sunday. And then depending on what class you want to race, it's either $100 to $150 to enter, depending on what class you want to race. And it's 100% payout on each class.
Hey, and it's only 3.5 hours from Detroit.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, if nobody's done no prep and you want to see if you can do it, or if the car's set up for it, that's the perfect spot, because you can make solo passes, and if you get out of shape, you ain't got to worry about tearing shit up.
Right.
Nice. See, we don't got nothing like that here in Detroit, say?
Nope. We got too many houses and too many factories.
Mm-hmm. We got that airport on the east side, and we got one in Bellevue.
Hey, you know what they reopening that airport. They did remodeling to it already.
That's some bullshit.
Oh, okay.
See, the biggest thing that you got to go through to do an airport is you have to get in bed with the FAA. They control what happens at airports, not the individual ones. So.
Mm.
Just keep that in mind when you start thinking about local airports, because the one, like one here in Marshall, it's a small airport, and we tried doing that here, but they don't have a control tower at the airport. But that airport comes up on every airplane's radar if they have an emergency for an emergency landing. So the FAA said we cannot use that airport because there is no tower to let anybody know to get the hell out of the way if a plane comes in.
The airport, but the one in Mentone, is that, you said that's a private one though, right?
It is a private one, but they do have a tower operator on duty out there for emergencies. Or it doesn't show up as a public airport for an emergency landing. So I don't know how it works down there, but just like we're doing this team event down to Carmine Municipal Airport in Illinois on the 21st, they shut that airport down for a 24-hour period. This A to Z production company pays that airport to be closed for a 24-hour period to do this race every weekend. Well, 2 weekends a month. But there still is a power operator on duty for emergencies.
So I got a quick question, Rich. And about that track that you can't go to. So there's no tower there, but they have somebody on duty there?
The one at Mentone that we're going to this next weekend, they have somebody on duty there. The other one
in Marshall.
Yeah, the one in Marshall doesn't have anybody on duty. There is no tower operator. There is no radio room. There is nothing. It's just a city airport that's – I don't even know how they control it. I really don't.
Who turns the lights on?
I don't know how they do that.
Who's going to turn the lights on the runway in case there is a plane that has to land at night?
I don't know how that works, if it's automated or what. But that's why the FAA won't let us out there. There is no operator at that airfield. And I believe it is automated. Just like the private planes that go in and out of there, they've got to have some way of knowing who's taking off before you land.
Right.
So I don't know how they do it, Tao. I really don't. But that's what we were told directly. I was part of that conversation and meeting with the FAA and all that shit. Because the city of Marshall was going to let us do it. because they're all about the money.
Right. So, okay, so basically what you're saying is if this this is the, okay, that station in Marshall, which you're talking about, it's not vacant, right? It's not vacant. They still use it.
Correct. It's an active airport.
It's an active airport.
Like I said, I think they said it's automated. It's some kind of computer, whatever, that controls whatever's going on.
Right.
Right.
So basically, if what they're saying is, if we're not there, no, you can't use it. But if we are there, you can use it because we have to say so. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, if there's somebody on duty, like the one down at Carmine, that the airport's closed, so they redirect everything
right.
for that 24-hour period. But if somebody comes in an emergency situation that they cannot redirect,
they can be wrong
then
right there.
They can get a hold of us and tell us to get the hell out of the way.
Yes.
Yep, got
right. I got you now. Okay,
not
yeah.
necessarily us, but the production company. You get a hold
yeah.
of the production
but
company.
But if we were in the way and they needed us to move, they can, you know, instead of it being, okay, we can't say anything, but we can reroute to somebody else to let you guys know, get the hell out of the way.
Right, because obviously we're not. And I wouldn't want to be that person either. I don't want to be making a lift
right.
down the runway and have some plane coming in an emergency and crash because
right.
we were there doing our thing, you know.
Right.
So, but, yeah, that's what it's all. It's got to do with the FAA controls, what airports can do what. And if it's a big metropolis like O'Hare or, you know, Metro or some shit like Detroit, they're not going to do anything at them big ones. It's got to be a smaller airport.
Good report. So what you thinking, Tao? Y'all got an airport, an old airport, landing field somewhere by you?
No, but we did get some good news. I posted it on Facebook. A track up north that was going to get ready. They were going to shut it down. It was an old drag strip just got bought, and it's going to be they're redoing it all right now. It's going to be a full quarter mile track, all concrete.
Oh, okay.
And it's up in Redding, California, between San Francisco and Sacramento.
How far for you?
Oh, that's about 6-8 hours-ish.
From you?
Yeah.
From you?
Oh, well, I still go.
It's a two-day drive. It's a 2-day drive for me, and then I got to do another 6-8 hours north.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Bodie's involved with anything up there, getting a no prep race up there.
Oh.
Now, may I ask you guys about that no prep? I want y'all's opinion. What do you think when you got a track that's running grudge races and shootouts, and then you want to slash and go to a no prep? What do you think about the track doing that? You think that'd be real difficult to do, or because you can't put no dirt down for a no prep? And if they was grudge racing the week before, what do you think?
Well, no prep is just like that pour your own portal stuff. I mean, basically, no prep is street racing anyway. So if you can, I mean, it's gonna take a little bit more concentration and paying attention to what the car is doing and everything. And on some things, you know, if you got more than one person, like say for instance, me and Shake go out there, and we do a couple hits with the car, it might take more than one person to come up with a good idea on what the car is actually doing and why it's doing this and that. So it just takes a little bit more. It takes a little bit more focus to get the car down the track sometimes. But nothing is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask a question real quick?
You asking a question or coming on the question?
Asking a question. What do you think is better?
Is it
a street track car or a straight up track car? Especially when you're talking about no prep. What is better? Is it better to have a street track car or just a straight up track car that you can't run on the street?
Define street track car.
Well, you can run it on the street. You can street race with it and run it on the track. And a track car, it's just strictly for the track.
Now, what is your question?
Well, I don't know.
Of a double-sided question because I can race a street car on in no prep. I consider my car a street car. So, I mean.
No.
It,
No, what I was saying is, you have a car that's just strictly, it's chassis, roll cage, everything, parachutes. Only way you can run that car is going down the track. But you have a car that you can run that on the street, plus you can run it on the track.
So which one
would you prefer?
Let me ask this question real quick, I'm not trying to answer a question with the question, but if you watch Street Outlaws, what do you consider those cars, street cars or track cars?
Well, the Street Outlaws, I consider those cars street track cars.
Well,
I take that back. I consider them track cars that they run on the street.
So your question is, what's better, a street car to race on the street or a track car to race on the street? Well, you could set them up both ways, so it's kind of.
But two-headed sword, you talk.
Hang on, Phil. Rick, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. When you first came on and talked about build the car, I asked you what kind of racing you want to do. Because you're going to build the car to do that racing. If you're going to build a no-prep car, a no-prep car is a total different setup than a prep track race car.
Okay. I hear you.
You need to figure out what you're going to do, and you build the car for that. Because I'm here to tell you, you cannot take a track car that's used to having glue on it, and that's the only way that car was built to run, or on a radial prep track, and think you're going to go no prep racing or out on the street with it, because it ain't going to happen.
Uh-uh. Right. That's what I was asking.
It's totally different beast.
And completely.
Okay. Yeah.
Like my car. I got 13 inches of front suspension travel on my car. That instantly goes up, and it looks like my car's riding a wheelie the whole track, and my tires are on the ground.
Okay.
If I took that car with my suspension and went and put a set of radials on it and put it on a glued track, the bitch is going to go to its roof.
Wow. Okay.
It's two different animals. You got to figure out
what
you want.
That's what I was asking.
And that's what you build.
I got you.
It would help that you go to a no-prep race and then go to a grudge race where you see them putting down glue and it's sticking, and pick which one you want to do.
Okay.
When you figure out which one you want to do, then you stick with that and build your car to that. If it's no prep, you build your car no prep. If it's grudge racing, bracket racing with some glue, then you build your car to that.
Gotcha. That didn't kind of help answer my question.
If you think about taking your car and going over there on Clay and 75, you might as well get off this show. We don't condone that.
Because Tao can take his car, which he's track raced for years, and go compete in a no prep type race. But he knows how to detune the car and change the launch on it and all that kind of stuff to make it to where it'll work.
Right.
I can go down to the garage and just do a couple of twists and go out. It's a whole different setup.
Right.
True.
And that's what I was going to say. I would have to take the springs, the struts, all that shit off the front of my car and put something different on it to go to a radial or a prepped surface. I mean, the back end, not so much. You can change the shocks back here, but the front end setup, the suspension that's in my car cannot be tied down that far. You cannot tighten it up to the point of not traveling. That's just not the way it works. The spring rates are different. Strut rates are different. Ooh. All that shit.
Right. Uh-huh. Okay. I got it. Okay.
But what your question was, Shake, you were asking if the track, what the track's got to do. And like Onondaga runs, they glue the track and they run box, no box, bracket races on the weekends that we're not there. But prior to our weekend of racing at the PYLP no prep, they go out and scrape that track from start to finish.
Okay.
So none of that stuff's there anymore and you're back on a virgin surface.
Okay. What were you saying, Philip?
Do you remember when Sammy went over there on Six and Outta Drive?
Outta Drive. Six and Outta Drive. Exactly.
And ran
Ride or Die. Yep. Ride or Die.
Mm-hmm. And you remember everybody thought just because that big Trans Am was a prep car, track car, big 1432s out of there, Willie Bars, parachute, everything. They was thinking that it wasn't going to hook.
I know. I remember exactly because I made a bunch of money off of that.
Right.
Ride or Die got their butt beat. But, yeah, they thought the car wasn't going to hook. And I'm like, you out your rabbit-ass mind.
But it took a driver to understand what was going on. And I asked him, I said, Sammy, what are you trying to do? He's like, don't worry about it, Bo. I'm about to show them something. He's like, they think this sucker ain't going to hook. But I'm not going to put this sucker on kill. You watch what I do. Hit the power button. I said, okay. Went out there, did a sad burnout. I mean sad. Well, I couldn't even spin the tires over. I said, damn. And they went, look, head up. Man,
sure did.
When dude dropped his hands, it was like Sammy rolled out.
Yes, he
did. Hit it. Shut it off. I said, damn.
Game over.
Game was over. Damn, Capri had just cut off. He was like, shit. He was like, man, I went to third gear and he was still pulling. I just cut it off.
Yep. You got to know your car. Got to know what you're getting into.
Because that car there, that Trans Am, at the track, it uses a trans brake. But because he was on the street, and he knew what was going on. He foot braked it out of the hole, and he didn't take it up all the way to RPMs.
Yeah. And you know, with them big old tires, with them big old tires on there, you got one hell of a rollout. So he didn't even spin.
He
rolled
up. That sucker like he wanted to, like he really wanted to lift the boys up. Now I wouldn't condone him what he, you know, I wouldn't condone taking that big sucker out there doing street racing, carrying on, because it took him all the way. He went way past the finish line. And damn, and went into oncoming traffic too, to try to stop this damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
I told him when he got back onto the trail, he came back around and just ran up on the trail, stopped cutting the car off. When I went past that damn car, them brakes was red. I mean, glowing. I said, "Hell, dude, you was already in trouble. Why you just pull the shoes?" He's like, "Boy, I wasn't thinking. I was just trying to stop this big motherfucker." Oh, Lord.
I wonder if is Mark gonna bring his car out this year.
Oh, he say yeah. Just,
you know how that goes.
I guess, yeah. I see you to believe it.
Yeah, hell, they've been looking for what?
Yeah.
Going on 2.5, going on almost 3 years.
Yep.
Hey, Lil Rick.
Yeah, I'm
Lil
here.
Rick.
I'm here. Yeah, I'm there.
Come off mute then. Are you planning on driving your car, or are you going to have a driver?
No, I'm driving mine. I'm working too hard to put somebody else in my driver's seat. No, that's my dream.
I feel you. So, you know, my next question is, you better get out there and get you some seat time.
Yeah, I'm working on that. I'm working on that. I told you I'm rebuilding my engine. I got that 4-bolt main. And I'm rebuilding that now as we speak. And my schedule's about to change a little bit different. I got offered, not kind of offered, but kind of picked to go at stay at my job, but to go somewhere else and work some overtime. So,
well, you gonna need that overtime.
I'm on the grind right now. Yeah, I'm on the grind right now. They picked me to go help out somewhere else at my job, and it's a ton of overtime there, from what I hear. Now, overtime is unlimited.
I'm about to say, shit, you start talking about drag racing, carrying all that, you shit. You need as much money as possible.
Yeah, I know. I'm
even
getting
then
a little frustrated. Uh-huh. I'm getting a little frustrated, but I'm all right. It is what it is. And it's because I'm finding out I have to spend more money than I was planning on spending.
That's how it works, baby.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said I'm all right.
What do you say, Tayo? You better look at a blank check, because that jumper is going to get some zeros and some zeros and some more zeros.
Hey,
don't put a date on that check yet, because it's gonna keep getting more expensive and more expensive. Leave it open.
Hey, my old man. My old man told me a story one time. He said he had a 66 Nova they called Tutu. It was too tall and it was raggedy as shit. But it had a 331 in there and it had a 513 getting its gear in the back, and his mug was riding. He drove this sucker everywhere. And you can just tell if you get on freeway, that mug was singing on freeway. So this one night he went into my mom, you know, my mom, I guess my mom and them had an argument or whatever. So he went upstairs and, you know, he wanted to get a little action this year, you know. He get in the bed and everything. Said, what you doing? He said, what, I can't come in here and, you know, scooch up. And he said, No. You go downstairs, you go down there with the, to that bitch you got downstairs in the garage. He said, oh, it's like that. She said, yeah. So she put his clothes back on, put a coat on and everything, went out there on the, went out there to Livinois, and Livinois warm. I did. At the White Castle.
Mm-hmm.
Ran a couple times, won some money. Won some good money. Came back 6 o'clock in the morning. And go back upstairs. Miles was getting up and she was doing her thing, whatever. He laid the money on the table. Got undressed and got in the bed. Moms came in the room and grabbed the money off the table. He said, what you doing? She said, I'm going to go shopping, this and that. He said, That money right there, me and my bitch won downstairs. Now you leave that there. Man.
I do.
Went right back out in the garage.
My bitch, me and my bitch won that money.
I'm just trying to get out there. I'm trying to get my foot in the door. I know it's a money pit, and I know that, but I'm just trying to get my foot in the door, and I'm finding out there's a money pit just trying to get in the door, first of all.
But you know what? You know what? A lot of people. A lot of people say it's a money pit and everything. There's only one guy that actually told me, he's like, dude, this is, it's a money pit, but it's actually an investment. Because at the end of the day, if something goes wrong and you need some extra money, you can always sell it.
Yeah.
You probably get exactly what you paid for it, but you got something. Now, if you got 3 or 4 of them damn things, that's some other stuff on the side, like engines and transmissions and stuff, there you go. So you always have some money sitting over there on the side. It's just an investment. It's an expensive investment, but it's an investment.
Yeah, a race car is not a bad thing. Because to us men, it is a peace of mind. It keeps us grounded, keeps us sane. If you realize it or not.
Exactly.
It's still the worst investment you'll ever make.
Hey, Phil. Yep.
Hey, I posted a thing on Facebook that says, when I die, I hope my wife doesn't sell my race car for what I told her it cost.
That's a fact. Somebody's going to get one hell of a deal if she does.
She'd dig me up from the grave and sock me in the mouth.
Right. Hey, she'd do one better than that. You'd be in the damn casket and everything. She's going to come over to you. You son of a bitch, you said that. Hey, what was that movie? Was it a CB4? Was it CB4 when he was asking, where my money at? Where my money at? He hit him in the head and he gave him a black eye in the casket. Oh, boy.
Well, but intent, as long as you go into this with it being a long-term process and have patience, you'll get to where you want to be. I've been building and racing the same car for 35 years. It didn't happen overnight.
No. I have two. I brought me a truck back a few months ago that I'm going to race. And I got a Camaro that I'm still trying to build and race. So, trust me, it's a process. It's just the moment you think you might get somewhere, there's something else you need to buy. And it's like, oh, my God,
Oh, that's, man, shoot. Look, hey, look here. I'm going to tell you like this. I don't even ask the price. I ask the price, but I don't say, oh, man, nope. Mm-mm. How much is it? Do you need the money? All right. Because all that, yeah, all that asking the price and getting all mad and stuff. Look, this is drag racing stuff. It goes up every year. You don't see a dramatic change, but it slowly goes up on the penny every year. So if it's gonna take you 5 years to try to get these damn cylinder heads, you're gonna see a dollar change.
Well, it's not just that part. It's like a prime example is the suspension I put underneath the front of my Camaro I was telling you about. I started building a purpose-built no-prep car 2 years ago. Halfway through the build, they came out with a better set of struts. I bought them. Towards the end of the build, they came out with a better set, which is what's on the car now, which is the best ones on the market. I spent another $3,800 for the front suspension that's underneath my car and took the brand new shit off.
Mm. Wow.
And it keeps going and going and going.
Yeah. Technology changes. If you've got a project you're planning on taking 4 or 5 years to build, do the basics and then figure out what the hell you want to do and look at technology and make a choice. Because if you buy something now, 5 years from now, there's going to be something a whole lot better out there.
Hey, can I ask a question? Can I ask a question? Is there something going on right now? Is there like a holiday going on or something? Because it ain't even June yet. It's May the 1st or maybe the 2nd. I don't know.
The first. Yeah,
and they're popping firecrackers like it's July 4th.
I know.
Are
they
firecrackers?
Am I missing something?
Yeah, they firecrackers. I think they had some leftovers, Phil, because I was hearing them when the snow was on the ground.
Man, I mean, these people's going crazy out here. I had to second guess myself. I had to look at the calendar again. Did I miss something? I mean, they going crazy out here.
Hey, Phil.
Thought it was the 4th of July.
Yo.
Phil, so look at this. Look at this. You can't buy gas cheap anymore. There's hardly anything in the stores and supermarkets anymore. But if you want to get arsenal, a dime a dozen. You get fireworks anywhere.
Uh-huh.
You can't go get a fresh loaf of bread. You got to wait 3 days.
I can't get me a burger, but I can get me some firecrackers. I'm going to have some fun. damn it.
This world messed up.
Yeah, it is.
Well,
it definitely is.
Well, we haven't got any race reports at Body Cole's race. I got some information that somebody told me. I don't know if it's 100%, but I was going to try to see if I can get somebody to come on and give us some race reports. I did hear a bunch of punk outs. Now, this is somebody got some noise in the background. Is that you, Phil?
No, that might be me. That might be me.
I'm about to say, I ain't doing nothing with
you. I walked in the house. I was eating. Yeah, I walked in the house and put my plate up.
Okay, put your phone. If you ain't gonna talk, put your phone on mute. It's a button on your phone. Just mute it, and then it'll keep the noise. You won't disrespect other people while you're on there. There you go. Just put it on mute because we hear your footsteps, your breathing, your paper plate going. We hear all that stuff. What we're gonna do? What I was going to try to do is see if I can get somebody on the show that and give us some race reports. Now, this is what I was told that happened down at Bobby Cole's race. There was a lot of punk outs being paid. Now, why these guys lock in some races and then get there and don't pay, I mean, don't race, either your car wasn't up to par or the other person scared the hell out of you. So you would rather pay the punk out than to go in there and lose a big pot. Can y'all think of any other reason? Why would somebody pay the punk out?
Either
your car ain't right.
I'm with you on that one. Either your car ain't right or you scared to race. One of the two.
Yeah,
that's the only reason you would punk out.
If you see that guy's car that you about to race and he out there doing a number and you and it's punk out maybe 200, 500, they'd rather pay that 500, 200 than pay that 3,500.
I don't know, man. I'm on Doc's team on this one, see. Because anything can happen in drag racing, so I'm not just going back down just because I see a little action going on. I'm gonna try it,
and that's good. That's good. You would, but some people don't have them balls. Some of them got marbles.
They're chasing their numbers. That number, they looking at that ticket, it ain't right.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think maybe, well, I guess it go both ways. But when both cars are on the premises, that punk guy should be thrown out the window now, and now you in it for the money?
Now, that's a good
right.
Step. We can use that step, Tail. That's a damn good step. Once we're on the premises, everything goes into the pot.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, if you sure your shit and you get on the premises and Tony Bryan on the premises, okay, we're going to put all this in the pot now. We both here. Bam. Call that DP man and say, hey, all the money in the pot. Can't be no punk outs. But if you got somebody that ain't sure of their shit, that's wiggle room for them to punk out.
Bro, that's true. I got a question for y'all. Like, why you wait so late to lock a race in at 8 o'clock when you know anything can happen with the weather?
True.
Mm-hmm. 100%. 100%.
Wait a minute, it was something that happened like that though, wasn't it? I know y'all brought it up about 3-4 times. Definitely when Mr. Unknown was alive. I think that was who was that prime time? What was his name? Tony Bynes.
Tony Bynes.
Yeah. Tony Bynes, it was supposed to be like either a tornado or something that was supposed to go down. And either him or somebody else backed out because they saw the weather. And I think you brought it up on the show one time. It's like both of you have to have a mutual agreement to call this off.
Tell
yo. I think, Phil, that was us.
That was us.
Yeah, I heard it, yeah.
Explain it to him, Teo, what went down.
So what happened was we had locked in a race with Tony Bynes.
Are you listening, Rick?
In Hattiesburg. I'm listening. We locked up a race with Tony Bynes in Hattiesburg.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, we started hearing about, you know, weather going bad down there. But there was also a race in Lena, Mississippi the day before.
The next day.
So we decided to
we got to go out there anyway, just in case the weather was okay to race, we had to at least be there. So we went out there, and we got to Lena. And Lena was, it was a good day. Good, a lot of people, everybody racing. So
Uncle Larry was there.
Lena.
Yeah,
everybody.
Uncle Larry was there. Melvin Coney was there.
Yeah.
It was a big thing. I was headed there.
Yeah, that was when Melvin took out Big Wayne. That's what all that, remember all that shit happened?
Yeah, sure did.
And
Corey was there.
And so what happened was we tried to get the race moved up to Lena because the next day we knew the rains and everything started coming that night, touring all the wind and all that stuff. Hattiesburg, they shut it down. They just said it ain't happening. So we tried to get the race at Lena, and Tony said no. He didn't want to do it. And he said that, you know, the race was there's nothing we could do about it because, you know, the race was for Hattiesburg and both sides have to agree on that for it to be moved. And so it was just, it just got held up to Mother Nature and the race was just canceled. So nobody owed anybody any punk out or anything like that. It was just Mother Nature kind of said, no, it's not going to happen. So it kind of was fucked up for us just because, you know, we drove 2,200 miles and weren't able to get the race off.
Now, Tejo is being a little modest. He left out one important part. His boy that was supposed to be racing did a test hit. And when he did that test hit, we think, now this is just our opinion, we think it scared the shit out of Tony Byard. He didn't want none of that smoke. He didn't want none of that smoke. So, we ain't going to move it. We ain't going to change it for today.
Did it get squirmy? It left the line on the wheel set for about 330 feet, but it didn't get squirmy.
You say that's something that's not going to be, huh?
Yes, sir.
That car was actually raced on we had a class out here, a 235 DOT class. That car was raced at. It was on 26-inch tall tire. So coming out there, we put the 10.5s on it. And so actually now the car is biting a little bit harder. And the track was on point. That track was on point. So,
Corey, where you at, Corey? You was there?
Yeah, he was there.
I'm still waiting for one of them days, Tail.
No, I was there.
I said, I'm still waiting for one of them days that my car scares the shit out of me and I don't want it no more. I ain't got anywhere close to that point yet.
Yeah, he bent. After that wheel stand, he bent the rack and pinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who it was. Somebody out there that was racing said he had another rack and pinion for his Mustang, went home and got it, and gave it to Chad. Chad put
what?
It on the card. Yeah, and that's why we were able to go racing again. And that's when Tony said no. Yeah. Oh, we fixed it that day. And then we tried to get a race We tried to get a race with Leaky Leon. He said no. We wanted to race him right off the trailer. He said no. So, Chad just took some hits out there.
Bruv, y'all was even trying to run three gloves.
Yeah, that's what it started. It started with three lugs, and then they pointed us over to Leon, and then Leon said no, he wasn't coming off the trailer to race.
I talked to Uncle Larry today, Tail.
And, oh, did you?
Yeah, he was calling me about some race reports. He gave me a little information that he had, and I gave him a little information I had. He was saying, and I have to kind of agree, the racing ain't like it used to be. Man, it used to be so much racing going on the way you would want to pack up and go see a race. If you have to drive 4 to 8 hours or 12 hours to a racetrack. One of the races I heard that happened in Memphis this past weekend, I need to get somebody that can tell us the real deal, but they say Leaky Leon lost the race. Now, I'm going to tell you like Crooked Letter say, this is from the street committee, so don't quote me. They said Leaky Leon was racing somebody, and the other guy double bugged. So when you double bug, you only got a few seconds to get your act together. And when the tree came down, the other guy that double bug took off, left Leaky Leon sitting there. So what do y'all think? Is that a fair race? When you double bug, the other party has only a few seconds, 7 seconds to get going.
If I could say this real quick.
Come on.
I think that might be karma. And I'll leave it at that.
Bingo.
Somebody's at the door. 219-2285. Is that my boy?
Hey, first of all, don't lie on me, whoever's that back there saying that. Second of all, it ain't called karma. Let me talk, Shake and Bake. I just got on and I heard my name. I heard a little bit. Second of all, if you want to know the truth, I tell the truth. I cut the fucking first bulb on. I fucked up. I know what I did. I fucked up. I cut the second bulb on. I mean, I cut the first bulb on. I'm banging my motor, and he heard it, and he double-bulled me, and the tree dropped. I fucked up. I ain't ashamed to say it. I'm the one fucked that up. Second of all, ain't nobody came over there and tried to run me less than I had a locked-in race yard already. I ain't going to lock no two races in, and I got a race locked in already. That's why I didn't lock it. People's coming and want to run me because I had more than one race locked in. So what the hell, I'm going to lock another race in with somebody else's car, and I'm sitting here, got two races locked in. No, I'm not going to do it unless you want problems. So whoever told that lie, they lied. I ain't got no reason. I ain't got no reason to lie about nothing. I cut first bulb on. The man double bugged me and went in and tree dropped. I lost. I fucked up. Ain't no karma nowhere. I know what I did, and I paid for it. Now, whoever said they came and tried to run me, and I said I wasn't coming off a trailer, that's a fucking lie. I wasn't locking nobody in because I had a race locked in already.
Nobody said that.
I can't forget the boy name. The black dude came. Hold on, man. You run your fucking mouth. I know what happened.
Hold on.
Ain't no peoples. Don't lie on me. It ain't no peoples. That I forgot the man name. He came and said, hey, Leakin, what's happening? Somebody want to run you. I said, who? He got a Mustang down there. I said, man, I already got a race locked in already. I'm going to do one race at a fucking time. What the hell, I was like locking a race in. I got a race for 5 o'clock. And we pushed it to 3 o'clock. Come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't scared of no motherfucker when it comes to grudge racing. If I ain't got no lock in, you fucking lock.
But you just said it.
I just heard you say it out your mouth that you came and asked to lock me in, and I was scared. I said I don't want no lock. He don't want lock in off the trailer. Who on this phone believes I don't lock in off the fucking trailer?
We weren't even talking about racing you. Three lugs pointed us to you.
I understand everything you saying, but don't say you came. Y'all, I don't understand. You say you came to ask Leon, do he want to lock in the race, and he say he don't run off the trailer.
Hold on, fellas. Leon, we was talking about Lena, Mississippi years ago, about when Tail and them drove way down to Lena, Mississippi, and we talked about.
I thought you just was talking about the races yesterday. How you talking about the race from yesterday and you jumped from the date of the race was 15 years old?
No, we didn't.
Leon, I don't know nothing about yesterday.
They don't know anything about yesterday, Leon. That's why we was calling to get some race reports. But what I was told Leon, and the only thing I was told, and this comes from the street committee, so you can't hold them accountable. They said you lined up and the other guy double bugged, and when he took off, you stood there. And that was all we got. Nothing else. Hello?
I said, I'm the one cut the bulbs on. That's what I'm telling you. I'm the one cut the bulb on. I cut first one bulb on. You know when I always say, got one bulb on? I cut one bulb on. The man cut both bulbs on.
Yeah, I know. You always.
And the light dropped. The tree fucking dropped. They say 7 seconds. If y'all really want to know the truth, I just put on the scene to try to get the man just to run back and leave the pot up there like I did somebody else before. But he didn't do that. That's what I did. My scene was this, to get what I was trying to get. It didn't work. So they got paid.
Okay.
That's what happened there.
All right. We got a better understanding coming straight from the horse's mouth. Like I said, nobody lying on the show. We just, this is what I got from one of the street committees. But, so that was the only race you got a chance to get off, Leon?
Yeah, I didn't get nothing else off because I begged the race. I wanted to race Friday. They didn't want to race Friday. Couldn't get out on the track. Then I wanted to race early yesterday. They did. And then all of a sudden, it was a bunch of bullshit. So, It's all good. I got my ass
whooped.
He won money. He won the money.
Yeah. But that's part of the game. You've been doing this for years.
Yeah.
That's part of the game. So we all know that. Leon.
Yeah.
Young Money didn't get a chance to raise Donye?
Everybody raised. That your car wasn't even there.
He's supposed to race Wesley Snipes,
and they didn't race. They got paid off.
No, shoot. Well, that go to Parkhouse that they was telling me about. Damn. And then it rained 4 o'clock that Saturday, and they shut the track down.
Yeah, it was over. That rain came down. Yeah, it was over.
Well, I had Bobby Cole on the show last week and let him promote his race. But he did tell me that Shake and Bake, he got a buddy that might end up trying to buy that track because, you know, that was supposed to have been the last race Bobby gave at that track. Memphis Motorsport Park, but his buddy might end up buying it. If he do, we still good because that's a good track, that's a good location, and hell, I like it. But I'm praying and hoping that Bobby Cole's boy, his boy, end up buying that track. Where is everybody?
I'm here.
Okay.
I heard some. I read a text message. I think you sent me something about if somebody's wing gets in your lane or something like that.
Yeah, that was the topic for the show. If two guys are racing
This is the scenario. Two guys is racing, and the guy in the left lane and the guy in the right lane both take off. But the guy in the left lane wing falls off the car and falls into the other lane, and he out front and he wins. Do he get the W, or do they call it off and give it to the one in the right lane?
Hold on, wait, back it up. You said if his wing, his rear wing, or what?
Yeah, rear wing. If the guy in the left lane
wing
comes off and travels over into the right lane, is that considered a win?
No.
I think it depends. It depends.
That's considered collateral damage.
No, what I would say is, when did his wing fall off? Did it fall off in front of the car in the left lane or behind the car in the left lane?
Behind.
Then that's still a win.
Mm-hmm.
That's still a win. It didn't slow the race down. If it slows the race down, then it's a loss. If it doesn't slow the race down, then it's still a win.
Okay.
I guess I kind of understand what you said about that. If the car, say for instance, if the wing falls off, if the guy was in front of the guy in the left lane, he's in front of the guy in the right lane, and his wing came off and landed in the right lane, and the guy had to swing or swerve or whatever to get around it. Okay, I would say that would probably be a win.
Okay, don't change my scenario. It didn't get in front of the other driver. It fell off his car and rolled over into the right lane. The one in the left side crossed the finish line first. So do he get the W?
Yeah, he still gets the W.
Hmm. Okay.
That was.
We've got an. What you think, Corey?
I don't see why he wouldn't get the win, to be honest.
Because that's just like if the guy had a nitrous backfire.
What'd you say, Phil?
That would just be like if the guy had a nitrous backfire and the scoop came off and landed in the left lane. Same thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If any part of your car falls off and impedes the progress of the guy that you're racing, then you lose. If it does not impede his progress, then it's a no harm, no foul.
Right. That's what I said.
There you go.
Why was Rich saying that like he was reading off the NHRA handbook or something?
Nope, that was right off the cuff. I was not reading or looking nothing up. I just have been down that road.
It sounds like an audio version from the NHRA handbook.
I've had that happen. I had a hood blow off on my car years ago, but it impeded me or slowed me down more than it did the other guy because I lifted because I didn't know what the hell was going on, but I still won because they come down behind us, everybody.
He was reading that off the Drag Racers UAW handbook, union handbook.
Now, can I ask a question? Here's a question for everyone that's been racing for a long time. What is your most memorable save?
Hmm.
Your most memorable what? Save?
Save. Like something went wrong with the car, but you saved it.
Tail?
And then what was it? What was it?
I didn't hear the question.
What is, can I ask, I was asking, what is everyone's most rememberable save? Like something went wrong with your car, but you saved it. And then what was it that went wrong with your car?
I would say mine would be in Kansas.
Cat?
Okay, hold on 1 second. Repeat your question because I had to click over. I was calling somebody. What was your question again?
I was asking everyone what was their most rememberable save. Like something went wrong with your car, but you saved it from crashing.
Mm. Is that going out to everybody?
Mine was my radiator. I had a small hole in my radiator.
Oh, sure did. I remember that. We was at, what was we at? 131 on Myla. 131.
No, 131.
Okay, sure was. Hey, I remember that because just like, see, that's another situation where when you start having one problem, then another problem behind problems, that's usually a sign for me to just push it up on the trailer and take it home and get the kinks out of it. Because you had a number of problems that day, remember? And when that radiator started leaking.
Yeah, I remember anything.
Yeah. When that radiator started leaking, you don't want to go out on the track with a leaky radiator. Somebody said put some bars leak in the redhead hole.
No, you don't want to put that bars. That's what I'm dealing with now with my truck. Keep that bars leak.
Because what if it started puking right after you 60 foot and it started leaking? Spinning in some water or antifreeze is not a good sight, people.
No.
Not a good sight.
No.
So,
Kansas, Tail?
What's that?
You said Kansas. What the hell happened with you in Kansas?
I was racing another guy out there, and what happened was I think I hit the unit too late. When the car came up, and as the car settled back down, the tires came down, I grabbed the unit, and I think what I did is when it caught it on that bounce coming down, and it just lifted up it unloaded the tires. And the car went sideways, and I went across the track, and I got stopped right before I hit the guardrail on the other side.
That was the track where I was at, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In Wichita, Kansas.
Okay, I'm starting to see a pattern here, Jake.
What's that?
You were there for Corey's close call. You were there for Tails for close call. I don't think I want you hanging out. I love you, buddy.
Oh man, what you trying to say? What you trying to say, Rick?
What?
Nothing.
No.
There seems to be a common denominator in these stories. That's all.
No. Corey can tell you the real deal. What did I do, Corey? Did I say today or what?
Yeah, most definitely you said today.
Mm-hmm.
Went right back up in the trailer. That's where it went.
Yeah, it's just helpful advice. I didn't have to say nothing for Teo. My prayer saved him from hitting that wall. So you better listen
to
what I
say. Shake somebody you want to have around because when some shit go down, he got the shit to fix it.
Well, And I'm not saying I don't want him around. I was just saying there was a common denominator in all these stories.
You made a good joke. You made a good joke. We all laugh. I'm the butt of the joke today.
But in my case, any of you guys know what a 73 Opel GT is?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Little teeny tiny.
No,
car,
what is
that? Even smaller than
a
Vega.
It's a baby
yeah.
vet.
Right.
It's a little teeny tiny mini vet. Well, this thing had a 454 big block in it, and we sprayed the dog
shit
out of it. And it was an old school chassis car. Old school. Still had the Opel front brakes and shit on it, spindles and everything. But anyways, we blew the rods and everything out of the bottom end of this thing. Quarter mile pass.
You're ready to go for a ride.
At about 1,000 feet, it let go. And I was into oil, water, pieces, parts, you name it. And I used both lanes and never touched the guardrail.
You're a bad man.
And ended up parking my own lane, pointed where I was supposed to be pointed. And the car didn't have a parachute on it either, which was our own stupidity back then. But anyways, that would be my most memorable save. Scary as hell.
You know that.
So.
How they say it feels.
Wow.
Well, we know he wet his pants.
Hell yeah, he got to check all that.
there was no saving them. We just went to the trailer and threw them away. There wasn't
right.
there wasn't no cleaning nothing out. They was toast.
Wow.
Well, the good thing you live to fight another day.
You know, the funny thing about it all, though, is the guy that owned the
right.
car, because I was driving somebody else's car, he knew he was going to blow that bitch up because he wanted to put his big motor in it. And he retuned his nitrous on it and turned it up and didn't tell me. He just told
Ooh,
me,
wow.
just hold on
Bullshit.
And drive it because we were going to make a lick. And it was on a lick right up until it wasn't.
Man.
Good God Almighty. That Opel had a short-ass wheelbase to it, too.
So the fuck did.
That car could be on a perfect pass, and you chopping on that wheel all the way down because the ass was trying to pass the front no matter what the fuck you did to it. That's why I say I get in my car and make a lick. Now it's like driving my daily driver, man. It's like Sunday driving a Cadillac. Because I drove that fucking Opel forever.
He said,
damn. That man got out there. He got out that damn Opel, pants sagging.
Well, that was after we removed them from the Finkster, because it puckered right up.
Oh, shit. Well, glad you made it through, saved the car and everything. For another day.
I got one more question for you guys. Oh, go ahead.
Before you ask your question, I got to ask you a question. Can you explain to us what is double bub?
That's what I'm asking you. What is double bub? I don't know what that is.
Okay.
It's courtesy.
Teo, you wanna explain it to him?
Well, when you double bub somebody, you know, have your pre-stage and your stage light?
Yeah.
You roll right into them and light them both up before the other guy gets in. Or have, you just roll straight in.
So you roll straight in the stage before the other person can stage and roll in. Roll in the stage. Gotcha. Because
as soon as he gets in, as soon as the other guy gets in, the tree coming down, whether you're ready or not.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
That's why you got to be on your P's and Q's. Having a lot of seat time will teach you that. Be on your P's and Q's when you go up the stage. A little trick that a lot of guys like to do is they like to be the first one in and be prepared. So when the next one come on in there, he inches on up. And you don't panic or you don't make no mistakes. But you have to have a lot of seat time to understand how that really works. Because if you have to race somebody and they go and double bub you, panicking ain't going to be your best friend.
The other thing that seat time is going to give you is if you race in the same group of people a lot and you see somebody that double bulbs a lot, you can go up and take them out of their game by doing what they do to everybody else to them. So you learn and pay attention to who's doing it, and you remember those things.
Gotcha.
I mean, it's not right. It is one of the dirtiest things, in my book, it's one of the dirtiest tricks there is in the game of drag racing, is double balling somebody. But accidents happen. Every now and then you might roll a little bit or bump a little bit too much and double ball somebody. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
But guys that do it on a regular basis, best thing you can do is get out of your burnout and roll right up and turn both them bitches on. Now they're out of their game.
Okay.
Seat time.
Okay.
Seat time.
And keeping notes. Seat time and keeping notes. You keep notes on your tunes, and you keep notes on the drivers that you race on a regular basis.
That's that checklist, ain't it, Cor? That's that checklist.
Yes, sir. Because you have guys will play games with you.
Oh, yeah.
P's and Q's when you get up there.
Oh, yeah. That I do know.
Well, see,
Leaky Leon
came on and said he came on and he said, I fucked up. Well, that's why, and Leon been driving for a lot of years. That's why you got to have your head on right when you go to the track. Because once you get strapped into that car and you pull up in them lanes, pressure is all around you in that car. It's gonna come at you some kind of way to try to mess you up. So that's why. Is that my mama talking? Mom.
That was me. I'm out of here. I went in the house.
Oh, I thought that was my mama. I was about to say, goodness gracious alive. What I do? I thought I was about to get a whooping.
That first talking. My daughter's talking.
Okay. I told mama don't be coming in on my phone calls.
But you gotta have
some seat time and going to a track watching people, you'll learn a lot, and you got good help here on the show.
Let me ask you guys this.
Okay.
Let me ask you this real quick. Okay, I got a 2002 Sonoma going to my truck. 2002, I think it's. I gotta look at that. It's 2002, 2003, whatever it is. I'm putting a 350 in it, but I'm looking to make it a 383 stroker. I've been breaking it down. I got the engine all stripped out. I know what I got to change. But my question is, because I've been told just to worry about the engine. The transmission, now it's a four-cylinder transmission, four-cylinder engine in it now. But that's coming out of there, and I'm going to put the 350 in there. I can run, if I make it a 383 stroker, can I run the transmission off that engine?
What transmission's in there?
No.
I think it's a, no?
No. The one behind that four-cylinder is not strong enough to handle that 383. I think
what if I leave it stock and make it a 350?
What
that,
kind of
that
transmission?
That 4-cylinder trans is the one behind a 2.0. What is that? A 2.2 liter engine. The transmission.
2.2.
It's a weak ass transmission behind that 2.2 four cylinder engine tail.
Well, like
think
one
Rich
R200s
told him,
or something.
Rich, something. Rich told him. I think what was that about 2-3 weeks ago? Rich, that transmission ain't gonna hold up. He be wasting his time.
Yeah. That and that transmission that's in that truck's partially controlled by the computer. So unless you're going to leave the computer and all that shit in the truck, it ain't going to work.
No, I know I gotta change that. But other than that, will it hold the transmission? That's what I'm worried about.
No.
Huh?
The engine and transmission in the truck's got to come out and go in the garbage.
Okay.
And I would suggest you leave it as a 355, a 30 over 350, and not waste the money on taking a GM block and making it a 383. Because it gets so thin, they won't last. And even though it's a 4-bolt, it's not a strong 4-bolt.
Okay. So just leave it a 355, make it a 355?
The last 355 that I ran, run 10-0s, 990s. And that's fast enough for anybody starting out.
Yeah, definitely. 355. Let me write that down. Because I've been told I can make it a 383. Yeah, do it this way. Do it this way. And, oh, yeah. You know. Now, the guy that I got the motor from gave me his transmission. Now, the motor comes out of a 78 GMC Jimmy. So it's got a turbo. I'm assuming it's a turbo 350 transmission in it. But it was a 4x4. So I've been told because it's a 4x4, the transmission is not good anymore.
That's not true.
Not true. Not true. All it is a different tail housing.
I need the tail off of it. I need the tail off of it, so it could.
Yeah, the out. What is it? Tail the out or shake the output shaft.
Output
is
output
different.
Output shaft got to be
it's
changed.
Just a different tail
output
housing.
Shaft. Yeah, you can still use it, but you have to get somebody to change the output shaft and put the housing on the end of it.
Okay, the output.
They'll do that when they can do that when they rebuild it.
Yeah, which you want to rebuild it no matter what.
Okay. The 350 will be good. 350 transmission will be good for it.
Yes, it would.
See, that's my thing. I'm getting turned in so many different directions. People saying, "Oh, you can leave that because it'll bolt right into the transmission." You can turn it to a 383 stroker. You can do this. You can do that. But I'm like, and that's where I'm getting stuck at. Like, what direction do I need to go? Because everybody's telling me I can do this and I can do that and I can do this.
Hey, Rick.
Then like,
Hey, Rick.
I'm listening.
Are you helping? Is Shake help? Are you helping him, Shake? Are you going to help him build this motor and stuff?
If he close all his windows to his house and leave one window open, I will. But as long as he got all these other windows open and he's talking to 15 other different people, I can't.
Then that's what I wanted to ask. If you're going to have Shake help you build this motor, quit talking to everybody else and do what Shake tells you to do. He'll save you a lot of money, a lot of headaches. And just get it done so you can get some seat time. If you keep bouncing around, nobody's going to help you because you can't make up your mind. Pick it.
I got
stay
you.
With it. Get it done.
I hear it. Well, you all Shake? Let's get together this week. Find out a time that works for you. Come by here and see what I got going on.
All right. Make sure you call me after Tuesday, and we'll set up a date.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
And I don't want you going behind my back talking to them other girls.
The other question
is this, is this for the Sonoma pickup truck?
Yeah, it's for the pickup truck, yeah.
Is that
a
short bed standard cab truck?
It's a standard cab. It doesn't have it's not extended, and it doesn't have a back seat. It's just a two-seater.
All right. Is it a short bed or a long bed?
I think it's a long bed, but I'm not for certain.
Well, you need to find that out, Shake, because from experience, if it's a long bed and it's got the two-piece drive shaft in it, you better keep the power down as far as you can go.
No, it doesn't have a two-piece drive shaft in it.
It doesn't have a carrier bearing in it?
No.
Because I made that mistake. You can't keep them in there.
No, it's just a single drive shaft. It's two-wheel drive. It's two-wheel drive.
I understand that. But a long bed S10 pickup, some of them have a two-piece drive shaft between the transmission and the rear end with a carrier bearing about 3 feet behind the rear end or behind the transmission. And if it's got that in it, if it's got it in it, they do not make a heavy-duty carrier bearing that will hold up to any kind of power.
Okay. I'll look and see, but I doubt if it has that. I think
if I'm not mistaken.
Huh?
I don't think it does, but you probably would have noticed it. It's a bearing,
yeah.
A center bearing in between two drive shafts.
No. If I'm not mistaken, I'll look again, but I'm almost certain, I'm willing to bet a bunch of money on it, that it's just one long drive shaft from the transmission to the rear end.
Rear. Mm-hmm.
And it's just a two-seater. It doesn't have an extended cab or four-door. It's just a two-seater. So I'll get with you, Shake, this week. And
all right.
We'll get it together. I got the engine. I got the transmission. I just need some guidance. I got too many people in my ear telling me one thing and another thing and another thing. And I'm getting frustrated. Like, Jesus, which way do I go? One person say you're fine, the other person say you're not fine, this person say you can do this. I'm getting confused.
Rich was giving you some damn good helpful advice. Just keep this in mind. When you watch the Pistons basketball game or the Chicago Bulls, how many coaches is on the floor?
One.
Coaching that one team. When you got a bunch of people telling Isaiah Thomas and Joe Dumars to do this and that, they're gonna get all confused, and that's coming from some
bad boys
of Detroit. Thank you.
Yeah.
So you eliminate a whole lot of problems by keeping a bunch of mess out of a bunch of different opinions, because everybody's got opinions, just like an ass. Everybody's got one of them too, but. You want to find somebody and stick with that one person. It could be me. It could be one of them other guys. I don't care. But you stick with that one person.
Right.
If you're going to stick with him, I'm backing out because I ain't going to do nothing
right,
to confuse
right.
you. And to tell you how strongly I feel about what I told you, Shake's just now meeting you and trying to help you out and do something and help you. Mm-hmm. I just cut a guy off that I've been helping for 20 years. Because he started listening to the other people chirping in his ear. And I don't play that. I'm not getting into somebody else's mess. So now that 20-year friend, we're still friends, and we still do a few races together, but I don't work on his truck. I won't put a timing light on it. I won't even change the spark plugs in that thing. I'm done.
Yeah. And another thing, yeah, on top of that, another thing is what we build, what we do in the garage, keep it under your hat. Don't start telling everybody, whoa, me and Shake doing this, we building this, we doing this. And keep it under your hat. Because the first thing they're going to say, well, why are you doing that? You don't have to do it that way. I can tell you a better way to do it. And they're going to start.
That's what I'm finding. That's what I'm finding.
So there you go.
That's what I'm finding. Okay.
Because the other thing you're going to run into, Shake is going to help you build the truck and help you build the engine, so he knows what's in it. So when it comes time to tune it, he can help you tune it.
Yeah.
So you stick with one guy from start to finish, and you don't end up blowing shit up and spending a bunch of money that you didn't need to spend.
Yeah. Because I got one guy that just tell me to run shit the way it is. Run it. Run it. Don't worry about it. Run it. And I'm like, ain't going to blow something up? Well, you might, but you'll be all right. Just run it. And when you blow it up, we'll fix it.
Hey, Shaq.
I'm not in the...
Yeah.
And the thing that just blows stuff up.
Yeah.
Hey, I got some, just so you know, I got some build sheets for that cubic inch on, if you want some ideas. Yes, sir.
Okay, appreciate it. Get with me in a day or two, and we'll see what you got.
Yes, sir.
And it'll keep it affordable for him, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
the
most common thing you can buy off-the-shelf parts for.
Oh, yeah. This is total streetable and still run solid.
Nice.
And it would probably run better in that truck than what we had it in prior. So...
Okay.
Have you bought any parts for this thing yet?
No. I brought the engine. I have the transmission.
Okay. But you haven't bought any of the rotating assembly. You haven't bought crank. You haven't bought rods. You haven't bought any of that stuff.
No.
Get that build sheet that you're talking about, Shake, with Tail. And if you're going to run like a standard stroke crank and some standard 5.7 rods, I've got a guy just north of you that has 6 or 8 GM steel cranks, and he's got 3 sets of the old school Chevy pink rods that have all been shot, painted, polished up, that are all reconditioned, ready to go. And he's getting out of the business. The guy is 86 or 87 years old, and he's cleaning out his machine shop.
Did you say 5.7
rod? Yeah, standard 5.7 rod.
Oh, yeah, that'd be perfect, Shake. That'd go directly what we did.
And I think they're set up for floaters. And 30 over 350 pistons, I can get them from Eagle for like $225 a set.
Nice. Because I do know that I need to bore it 30 over. That I do know. It's got to be bored.
How do you know that?
Because there's some scorching on the inside of the pistons, but it's not bad. But I've been told I need to get it bored 30 over.
You know,
so
you
like
know
I
who
said,
needs to tell you?
I was going to say, Shake needs to look at it and find out what you need. Because you'd be surprised if you might not clean it up. But
I was about to
I mean, regardless.
You know the best you know, the best teacher to tell you what you need to do with that engine.
What's that? Who is that?
You got to get some tools, man. You got to get some tools. Dial board gauge.
I got tools.
Oh, a dial board gauge.
I got to get a board gauge. I got to get that. That I don't have, but I got tools.
It will tell you whether or not you need to do 30 over, 40 over, or whatever. Proper tools will give you an answer that you don't have to ask nobody for. Learn how to use
it. But I just wanted to,
and they will.
I just wanted to throw that out there for you, Shake, to save him some money.
Appreciate it.
And help this guy at the same time. I mean, he's trying to sell out and retire type deal. So.
Okay.
Unless you just want to buy a complete engine from him. He's got a 383. He's got a 23 degree 383 stroker motor with Edelbrock aluminum heads, a Y-end under the hood blower, complete, carved a pan for $7,000.
Where is he located at?
Just north of Detroit.
Does he have any heads laying around?
He doesn't. Not really. I mean, all he's got is pretty much like stock cast iron stuff.
Okay.
He's got eight or nine complete 5.3 or 6.0 combos LS motors up there that he's got everything to build them. He just isn't going to do them anymore.
Nice.
Is his machine shop happen to be on Grossbeck?
I honestly don't know, Shake. I couldn't tell you. The guy that Mark Sellers, a buddy of mine that I grew up with, when he retired from the Navy, he's up there in north of Detroit someplace, wherever the river's at. He's like right in that area by the river.
Okay.
That's by you.
He bought my 358 that we took out of my car. And he's been dealing with this machine shop up there, and he used to do a lot of ASA roundy-round cars, and he builds a lot of four-cylinder, six-cylinder tractor-pulling trucks and cars, motors for the tractor-pulling shit. But he's just getting out of it. He's just got all this stuff over the years. But honestly, he's right there by Mark someplace, but he's just north of Detroit. I wouldn't know exactly where he's at.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'm going to give it to you, Shake. Give me a time and a day. I'll get with you. Give me a time and a day, and you come by the house, see what I got going on, and we'll go from there. Because I'm getting irritated. I'm getting so irritated. I got too many people telling me too many things, and I don't know which way to go. And at this point, I'm just be sitting on a car besides the Camaro. And I'm getting irritated. I'm getting irritated. Everybody's telling me this and that and this and that and this and that. Next thing you know, it'll be three summers from now, and I'm still sitting on two cars that ain't running.
Yep, we knew that was going to happen. Yeah, that's true, Rich.
So, I'll get with you this week. I will.
Okay. Anytime after Tuesday and after 4.
Yeah, that works for me because my schedule's finna change for work, so I'll have to let you know. I've been chosen to go somewhere outside of my job, but for my job, to help out. And they're working a lot of hours, which is helpful for me, but so I'll let you know how my schedule is going to look.
Hey, Corey. Hey, Corey, what's your schedule looking like for next weekend?
Work. Come on.
Huh?
Yeah, working.
Okay.
Man, I can't do nothing right now. Just trying to get back to swinging things.
Well, I hear you. I thought maybe you wanted to ride up the Mentone with me.
Yeah, it'd be nice, but you know, it's my time of the year.
Right. This rain we got this morning, that's going to make a lot of that grass grow.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Yes, sir. Yeah. Everybody,
yeah. Yep. Yeah, everybody kind of weighing down.
Yeah, I got to get off of here. I'm about to go to bed. I got to be at work early in the morning.
Well.
Listen to y'all talk.
Yep. Been real, guys. I will talk to you all next Sunday.
All right, man.
All right, no, Rick.
Hopefully I'll have a progress report next Sunday. And hopefully it's a good one.
Yeah. I'm out of here myself. I got to be up early in the morning. It's time for me to lay it down and start the week off right.
Hey, Shake, you was talking about, okay, so Mentone is what's happening this coming weekend, right? Hello?
Yeah, my boy, I was just calling. I clicked over on the other line. What's the name? Was supposed to have been coming on giving us a race report, but he was asleep. Big Mark. But anyway, we're going to get on up out of here. We're going to get on up out of here because I can finally go to bed early for a change. Let's see. Somebody just
hit you said that Mentone and everything, that was that's what's happening this weekend, right?
This coming weekend, yeah. It's gonna be Sunday, okay. But Rich is going out Saturday for testing.
Okay.
So I like to shoot over there. Ain't but 3.5 hours. And you know how I get there? It takes me through that truck route through Ohio and come out 24. And then it swings right up below Fort Wayne. And then just on the other side of Fort Wayne is the truck. I didn't know it was that close.
Oh, okay. I don't know. If you're going... You going Saturday? Try to stay in Sunday or what?
No. I'll go both days. Probably just go Sunday. Then I have to do the show at 8:00. Oh, that's what I forgot to ask Rich. How late they gonna be there Sunday? I'll catch them before they go to bed. But yeah, I would just only be able to do one day. I want to see what that track look like. That airport track and see what the no prep is looking like. Well, if you're interested, let me know.
Cause I'm about to say I'm off Friday and Saturday, so.
Oh, you're not off Sunday?
No. No.
You can't go.
I got to reschedule. If I go, I'll probably ride down there myself. I'll ride down there. Leave on early Friday. Early Saturday and get down there.
Now, wait a minute. Are you familiar? Did you understand what they were doing? Saturday is just a test and tune day.
Right.
Sunday is the event.
Yeah. I was just going to go down there just for the test and tune. I was just trying to go. I never met Rich before, so I was going to go down there and meet him.
Oh, okay. Well, he looked just like Fonzarello from Happy Days.
Who?
Psych. I was just talking. He looked like Fonzarello from Happy Days, but nah, he done.
Hey,
he fell off. But let's get on up out of here, people. Shoot. All right. I'm finding my buttons. Okay, somebody just popped up, want to come on, but too late. We about to get up out of here. I ain't got no music to play. Nope, forget it. All right, I want to thank everybody for calling in on the Shake and Bake Grudge Talk Show here Sunday, May the 1st. All I can tell you, people, put God first in everything you do. Stay safe and try to come back home alive. And we out of here, people. Get some sleep.